Dream of a world where weapons are obsolete and war is only a memory. Conflicts will be no more, and the Prince of Peace will rule over God's kingdom. We light this candle in peace. Isaiah 2, verses 3 to 4. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." Please pray with me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to understand as to console, and to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Well, at this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. Good to see all of you. And last week we had we introduced a couple of people. You might recognize them. This is
Mary.
Mary, very good. So this must be
Joseph.
So yeah. So I've got someone else in here. And let's see, Sarah, would you like to open that one? We'll see what we've got this week as we're, because you know, Mary got this special message, and do you remember who gave her the message? An angel, yeah, an angel gave her a message and said, "You're going to have a special baby, and you should name him Jesus." And so a lot was going to happen before she had the baby. But would you like to open this one and see what's in there? So she was going to have to, she and Joseph were going to have to take a long trip. So maybe they couldn't just jump in the car, right? They couldn't get in the old SUV. They took a donkey. Oh, what might be in this one? Oh, yeah, it's the donkey. So that they could take their long trip. So. Okay, so things are coming together here, and you probably know this story already, but it's kind of fun to go over it at Christmas time and think about what a surprise it must be to have an angel visit you and say, "Don't be afraid, it'll be okay," and then to think about a big journey. So, you think it might be the three wise men? We'll just have to wait and see. Let's put our hands together and pray. Thank you, God, for Mary and Joseph, who were such good parents to Jesus. Thank you for all the people who've passed this story on to us so that we can remember how much you love us. Amen. And I have stickers. somewhere? Yes. Okay. It's snowmen and polar bears today.
Good morning.
Morning.
Before I read the scriptures today, I want to give you a little lead in as to why these scriptures are chosen. Each year when we travel to Honduras, these scriptures are the ones I used this year in our trip. Now each year when we travel to a different village every day. So when we get to that village, what happens is some of the villagers come out and start unloading our bus and carrying stuff in, and we're busily setting up our stations. We got about 8 or 10 stations that we have to get set up. So it's a lot of activity. Well, while that's going on, the rest of the village is getting instructions from Friends of Barnabas staff as to how the day is going to go. And as they get all their instructions, get all their questions answered, then it comes a time when someone from the team is going to greet the village. And surprise, surprise, as much as I like to talk in front of people, the last few years, this has been my job. So when I do this, I feel like it's important that we try and bridge a gap between our cultures, our places that we live. You know, you look for different things that will help us. Also, what I've tried to do is emphasize family and children in what we say, because that is the emphasis of Friends of Barnabas. So that's where these scriptures come from. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you my welcoming to the village. So my little bit of Spanish will start first, and it's all I can do, and it's buenos dias. All right, first scripture is Matthew 18, verse 3. Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. And then I always looked up and I said, so what God is saying is we need to be like kids, right? We need to be pure of heart, pure of thought, humble in what we do, no differences between people. All right, the second scripture is Matthew. No, I don't have it right here. Matthew 19, verse 14. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children. So both of these verses have asked us to become like children. We are the children of God. He is inviting us to come and be with him. So on this day that we are together, let us be like the children of God, welcoming each other, pure in our thoughts, pure in what we do, and may we enjoy the day together. That was basically my opening for the village. So each day it varied because I don't write anything down. I don't. So, and half the time I don't read the scriptures either. I just kind of do them off my head. So we had a good trip this year. This is the first year I've ever traveled with teenagers. And we had 3 teenagers on the trip. It was wonderful. It was really good. It was the best cohesion in the group that I have had, and it's important that our group gets along. What we do is so important, and I don't know that we can ever express to you how important what we do is to the people of Honduras. How we touch them, how we help them, how we bring them along. We are not just giving them a service. What Friends of Barnabas does is teaches them to be self-sufficient. We provide a service while we're there, but for us to be in that village, they are required to go to so many training classes and do so much as a village that they eventually become self-sufficient in what they are doing. Friends of Barnabas is trying to work itself out of a job down there, not continue to go there. So that is important, I think. I'm going to let someone else speak now. I noticed that two of our members haven't showed up. Oh, there you are. Hiding in the corner. Okay.
Welcome to the dentist. You probably don't want to be here. Guess what? I didn't want to be here either. When I got the call to go to Honduras, you know, I was like probably a lot of you, why do I have to leave my community that has so much need in it to go serve outside? Okay, we go to North Carolina for the youth, and I could see the importance in that. But as people came back and shared, the Holy Spirit kept knocking at the door. And I, of course, kept saying, well, I can't do that. That's in the fall. I teach. I can't leave my darling students for a week. That would be awful. So this year was the year that I got the call and the nudge and the push, and I got to go. And I was really excited. I love adventures. So I had kind of got in my mind, you know, my daughter had gone the year before, so I knew a little bit as to what to expect. Started coming to our gathering meetings, getting together with the team, and interestingly enough, a new little twist came in. I don't know if you've ever been in community with medical professionals. They think a little differently than I do. I asked one of the nurses, so what kind of wildlife will I get to see in Honduras? And her response was, they have cows. And so, you know, listening to them talk about the problems that they were going to be encountering and the situation that they were going to be treating in was so foreign to me that was like, oh, cool, another neat thing to learn. So the last meeting, they said, okay, let's talk about what you're going to be doing as, you know, a non-medical personnel in this medical team. And I said, hey, how about measurement? I teach measurement. I'm kind of like really into measurement. So I think I would be great at measuring babies or, you know, how tall the kids are. I can do that. So that was my plan. You can laugh now because... Did I mention you're at the dentist office? So we get to Honduras, everything's going great. We're sitting down for our first delicious homemade meal, and we're talking about who's going to do what in the clinic. And somebody says, hey, how about you being the dental assistant? And I had this moment of sheer, utter panic. Like, when's the next flight? And how could I get to the airport from here? Yeah, that's not going to work. Okay, sure. I can be, you know, I don't like the dentist. I don't know about you all, but I'm absolutely terrified of the dentist. Part of it is just a natural thing, and part of it's that my nerves in my mouth make it numbing almost impossible. So it usually requires multiple needles. So I don't like that. And now I'm going to be standing there with a dentist loading his needles and handing it to him. So, yeah, that wasn't really high on my list of things I wanted to be doing. That was not the gift that I wanted to share in Honduras. But you're sitting at a group table with all of these medical professionals. You just can't just say, let's hand it to one of the teenagers. They can handle that. So I jumped in, both feet, closed my eyes, prayed a lot, and, you know, was grumbling pretty much the whole way internally. So welcome to the dentist office. They come in. They don't speak. I don't speak their language. They don't speak my language. There's a cot set up in a classroom, makeshift dentist office. And there's a metal table with the instruments that the dentist is going to use laid out right next to them. None of this nice dental hygienist with, you know, things behind you where you can't see what's about to happen. They come dressed in their best. They come grateful for the relief of pain that you're about to give them, knowing that in the meantime, it's going to be hard. And they lay down on that table. And they let you put the cloth over their chest. And just the utter determination that they trust you to take care of this for them. I couldn't do it. You know, I just know I couldn't do it. But you manage, and in their bravery, you take in some of their bravery, and you hold their hand, and you smile like, it's going to be, oh God, I'm glad I'm not laying there. But it's going to be okay, you know. And there's little kids, and there's people that have been weathered by years and years of outdoor work. And you do what you can. You hand the dentist the Novocaine and you hope and pray that it's enough and that they'll forgive you for standing there and holding their hand, you know. And Gary, luckily, is my, you know, he was across the table sanitizing, and occasionally when it was a kid and the kid was terrified, obviously, he would be the one that would kind of help hold him. So the dentist could do his job. It's a beautiful thing. It was terrifying, but it was a beautiful thing to see a need that I did not want to be part of, but they absolutely, this wasn't a hygienist cleaning. This was, I've had this obsessed tooth for weeks or months, and there's not going to be another dentist back here for 6 months, and there's no Rite Aid on the corner. And they welcomed us into their community, even me, the dental assistant that handed the needle to the dentist. And they cared for us, and they weren't afraid of us, and they weren't, it was just very humbling to be in the presence of people who knew who they were and loved their community and opened their doors to us as honored guests of that community. So if you ever get the chance, I thoroughly encourage you to venture out and try something different, because you come back changed in a life-altering kind of way that will make a difference in my life, you know, from that day forward. I can still see them laying on that, you know, trusting, caring. I can still see the little boys up in the window peeking in at their friends. Support. Snickering. Hey, I'm not the one on the table. It's sometimes we think of them as being a poor nation and, oh, it must be horrible. But they have a gift to give us that we can't get here, because we have dental hygienists in a nice clean chair with smiling faces and dental floss and not teeth extractors. You know, it's a beautiful thing. So please, when you get the chance, support anything and everything that you can, and more importantly, get involved. Get involved somehow.
Alrighty, so it's my turn. So I'm one of the teenagers, if you didn't know. And so I'm actually going to start out with a funny story that happened. So in each village, there is a village leader. And with that village leader, I'm like one of the common folk of our group. You know, like, I'm younger, I don't have a specialty, so I don't go and talk to them. I socialize with the kids. So the kids had like a 3v4 game of soccer going on. And the ground wasn't really grass. It was all rock and a little dirt here and there. And it was like uneven on one side, and like there was one patch of rock that like you just don't go near. So we were playing, and I thought, oh, you know, like I started as a freshman on varsity. I've got this. Like, this is going to be easy, a breeze. They're all like this tall, you know, like I could like knock them over with my knees, you know. So we're out there playing, and when everybody's getting ready to pack up, because I worked in deworming, we got done faster. So some of the other teenagers of the Hondurans and the adult males were carrying the things out. And I went to kick the ball, and with the rock, my foot went underneath of it a little bit more than I wanted it to. It hit a man straight in the back. Turns out that was the village leader. So, and my Spanish is very splotchy. You know, I've just done like Fort Defiance Spanish, so it's a little risky to use, but I tried apologizing, he just kept walking. So I was like, ugh, this is great. So then the next day we went to a village, and there was a couple little boys that they just would not leave us alone. And my mom was with me that day. Like, we had these little gloves that I had to blow them up to put them on because my hands are a little bigger than theirs. And I'm, you know, like, I mean, I'm a fairly large girl, but I'm still a girl. That's kind of weird that the gloves aren't big enough to fit me. But so I had to, like, blow them up first and then put them on. So the little boys saw me blowing up the gloves. They thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And I kind of figured it out later. They were saying, like, bomba, which is kind of like a balloon. So they thought it was a balloon with this little glove. So we made like three of them and gave them out. And the first one was popped instantly because that's what kids do. So we gave out like two more. And there was a little girl that kept wanting one and wanting one and wanting one. And like we were like, well, we have to like ration the supplies. We can't really give too many out. But and there was one little boy that just would not share. But the one, they kept passing around. And I saw it the entire day. The fact that one balloon, like, balloon that's really just a glove is the coolest thing in the world to them was just crazy to see. You know, like our kids are used to, or not are, I don't have any, I promise. But the kids here are used to seeing like little video games or game consoles, and that's much more entertaining in their eyes than just a little glove that was blown up. So that was awesome. And then I think it was our first day out. There we find out their age and if they're pregnant. There was a 14-year-old that was pregnant. So that was very weird because that's like my sister's age. I was like, I haven't really seen that. Like, there's high schoolers that are pregnant, but not like a 14-year-old. That's pushing it. And it wasn't like an odd thing there either. Like, there were kids that were my, or girls that were my age that had like three-year-olds. I was like, oh, that's surprising. So let's see. One day we were out in the village and we were drawing with little kids on the brown paper that we used as like a tablecloth kind of thing. And I guess that we were leaning over too much on the table. Well, about three or four of us got lice. So if that is the worst thing that we walk away with from, like, a foreign country, we are blessed, as blessed could be. But that was quite the trip, because that was nothing to them. Like, lice, oh, pfft, we get that every year. But, I mean, that's a big deal over here. And it kind of, like, freaked me out, rattled me a little bit. I spent 3 hours in a bathroom. I don't know how long the other girls did. I was the first one done. But we were very fortunate with what we had. And what we came back with, perspective-wise and health-wise. So that's what I have to share.
Good morning. For those of you that may not know, I am Laura Lucas. I'm Gary's wife. And like Julie, I got the humbling privilege of going this year because it was not during school year. So this was my first trip out of his many trips to Honduras. So we get to the airport, we travel to Honduras, we get off the plane, we gather all of our belongings and 20-some duffel bags, I don't remember how many it was, but head out, get in our vehicle, and leave the airport. Traveling along, I'm looking out the window, and I'm expecting to see this most beautiful countryside. I do, but overlaying all of that in the front was trash. They just litter their country. And it started working on me, and it made me so sad to think of the beauty of the mountains. And in the front, because you see what's in front first, was all this trash and litter. And we're still traveling, we're going through the city, and people that had traveled to Honduras before were talking about, if you have money, you own a car. I saw a few cars, not a lot of cars, I saw a few cars. For us, that's an everyday thing. For them, that's a luxury. And then it was like you saw fences all around their property. If you had money, you had a fence to protect your property. If you had more money, your fence was even taller for more protection. So that just brought a big fog over me, knowing how we live here in the United States compared to how they live in Honduras. So Sunday, I was filled. Saturday, I had that fog. Sunday, I was still overcome with this big sadness in my life. And Monday, we get up and have this wonderful breakfast, load the bus, and go to our village. And in our meetings, I don't know, Julie must not have volunteered. In our pre-meetings, I volunteered to work with Paul Quillen in with the glasses. So I was assigned to a young man named Fernando, and I was his record keeper. He operated the equipment. And he and I checked the children's eyes to see if they needed to be referred to have their eyes checked further for glasses. And Paul and his helper were in the room and checked the adults' eyes. So a mother came in with 5, 6 children. I don't know, just think of that. She had a basket full of kids. One of them was asleep in her arms, and we checked her children's eyes. And then she proceeded to go over to have her eyes checked. And she's sitting there with that baby asleep in her arms. And when she walked into the room and looked at us, it was like the worst scowl on her face that you could ever imagine. Of course, my English, Gary and I took the same Spanish class, went as far as a nod and a smile, and she still scowled at me. You know, I spoke, and the kids kind of grinned. So as she's over having her eyes checked so that she could give her full attention to what they were doing with her, bold me, I walked over, and I just grabbed that baby out of that woman's arms. Now the scowl got bigger, okay? And sound asleep, and I'm just standing there rocking that baby. And Paul and I can't remember his name, but they were working with her, and Paul puts a pair of glasses on this lady. And I'm standing across the room, and he says, "Look over there." And she turns and looks. If you could have seen the expression on her face, that woman probably never saw her children until that day. Her vision was so bad that she couldn't see very well. And her scowl was like trying to see people. It wasn't an angry scowl. It was trying to visualize, what am I seeing? What am I looking at? She looked right at me, and I'm just standing there hugging that baby and just rocking him to sleep, and her eyes just lit up. Her eyes lit up. That is what a trip to Honduras is all about.
Think about what to say comes from several perspectives. So the first thing I want you to know is that if you think this was an easy trip for all of us just to get on a plane and go to Honduras, I'm going to kind of enlighten you, because I myself worry a lot. I have a lot of anxiety and even started having panic attacks a month before the trip. to the point that I was crying every single day. Add that with the fact that my husband knew that this had been on my heart for 3 years. He was not exactly a fan of me going because of all of the awful law enforcement statistics coming out of that country as far as safety and protection. But I knew this is what God wanted me to do. I knew it was also God-driven when the day after the presentation, Paige had gone to Gary first before she even talked to me. So I knew it was God-driven for both of us to attend this trip. This was way out of my comfort zone. I definitely jumped off a ledge and literally felt like I was skydiving in order to do this trip. But not only because of me, but because I was taking a blonde-haired, blue-eyed daughter into the country. So Mama Bear was out also with this. But when I got there, I'm going to reiterate what Laura has already said. The first thing you see is the absolute stunning beauty of the country. It is unlike any other place I've ever been. The beauty is just remarkable. It takes your breath away. And yes, there was trash everywhere, and you saw poverty everywhere. But my impression of that was quickly glazed with our first trip to a village. This is what impressed me the most, because each village dressed, you could tell that they had had a bath. They dressed in their Sunday best, and they walked for miles and miles on mountainous, rocky terrain to get to us, because we were their only pharmacy for months. When the ladies came in and they were hugging me with huge gratitude. I did not know them. They did not know me. And the first thing they did was come and hug me and say thank you in Spanish. It didn't take a lot of language barriers to know what they were trying to convey. They would come and hold your hands in appreciation. You could see in their eyes that there was hope because you were the hope for them. You could see the excitement and joy, not only in the older people's hearts, but in the young people's hearts while you were there. The kids were so excited to see us, and I got the pleasure of watching my daughter do fluoride every single day and speaking the Spanish. She made me proud every single day. And when we were done, we got to be with the little kids. And they were hilarious. We had chalk the first day, and one of the biggest things is they saw our names on our name tag, and in chalk would start mimicking our names. And so I have pictures of where they had drawn Bridget or Paige or Michaela all over the little bit of concrete that they have. And then they were saying in Spanish and writing, "We love you." That was very powerful. They love to play soccer. That was another joy of, as a mother, watching your daughter out there playing soccer with everybody. And I thought she held her own, even though even five-year-olds were breaking her ankles around her. It was just, God was in the details. And I got the pleasure. I'm not used to my writing being made public, even though I teach English and I try to journal with my kids every day up on a smart board, but that's different when you're with 25 people and you're going social media with thousands and thousands of people. And so part of journaling really made me look at this trip not only from my perspective, but hear everybody else's perspective. And one of the big things that I took away is that God is in every single detail. I think we get caught up in the details of the world. We get caught up in the details of the day, of what we got done or what we didn't get done, or what we have to do in the future, or where we have to be. We get caught up in those details, and technically God is even in those details, and that came out huge for me for this trip. It is about listening and seeing Him in every little thing that we do, because I did get sick on the trip. The food was amazing. It was absolutely incredible, but it just did not agree with me towards the end of the week. And I remember, because you didn't really have a place to stop if you needed the bus to stop. And I remember praying, God, you put me on this trip for a reason. You've got to get me through this day. Please don't make me make this bus stop because I have to take care of some things on the side of the road. So God was in the details, and it made me vulnerable. It made me vulnerable in a way that I've never, ever been vulnerable, but I will never, ever forget what I learned from that vulnerability. And I know that God is not done with this trip or any of us that went on this trip yet. It was proven to me 2 days after I got back. I am in my classroom, and I had added some pictures of Honduras for my slideshow in the background for open house. And I was speaking to another parent, and I had this little four-year-old little girl that was coming and pulling me at the leg, and she was pointing up, and I said, well, wait a second, let me finish with this parent, and then I go over to the family, and she's still pointing, and I looked, and I saw that they did not speak English, and I said, which one of you speaks English? And it was the daughter that I was supposed to have in my class, and she said, that's Honduras, and I said, yes, it is. She's like, I'm from Honduras. And she's like, why do you have pictures of Honduras up on your slideshow? And I said, I just got back on Saturday from a mission trip in Honduras, and I told her what all we did, and she translated it to the mother, and the mother instantly started crying, started bawling. And the mother came and just hugged me, and it was the same gratitude and the same joy and the same hope that I saw while I was in Honduras, and just thanked me profusely. And then she had to leave because she was still sobbing so much. But the main thing was, thank you for helping my country and my people. So God is continuing to work with us even though we're not in Honduras. God is continuing to work with us so that we can make a difference and make connections that are worldwide. Because as I saw, God is not just here. God is all over the world and all of our people. Thank you.
All right, couple quick notes and I'm going to get out of here. Four wonderful people went with me this year. I want to talk about them just a few seconds. Bridget did a wonderful job with the kids. Julie, scared to death in the dental office. She was wonderful. You never knew it. It's a job that most people don't want to do. It's a job we have to do. I'm in there. I've been there 3 years, so I have no problem with it. Laura worked with probably the most difficult person on our team, in Paul. Paul can be very headstrong and pushy and bossy, but they got along great. But the one I want to talk about most is Paige. I gave Paige an assignment for the trip. She was our devotion leader, and she did such a wonderful job. Every night we have devotions, and beginning of the week you could tell she was nervous and a little apprehensive. By the end of the week she was joking and carrying on, and she had great messages every night. Next year's trip is October 17th through the 25th. I already have two church members signed up, Pastor Susan and Mary Tyree. So we're headed again. And the one thing I want to do especially is thank the church for its support. I'm sitting back here, I'm running numbers through my head. In 5 years, we've donated somewhere close to $70,000 to the Friends of Barnabas. It's wonderful. You were so generous, and it's great what we do. They talked about how welcomed we are in the villages. Jesus said, go out and spread the word. If you are not welcome, shake the dust from your feet and move on. My feet are filthy. That's all.
Well, good morning again. So this is our time to be in prayer, And one thing I want to share with you all is that Ruby Botkin went into hospice care this week on Wednesday, and she's at Shenandoah House. So keep Ruby and her family in your prayers. Not looking good, but her daughter Wanda was saying that she is ready to go home to God. So just be in prayer for her and her family. Do we have other joys or concerns we want to share? Yes. Okay, and that was Zeke Cron. Okay, well, so we want to be in prayer for Zeke Cron, who's not going to be having surgery and not for a blood clot. Okay, we'll definitely keep Zeke in our prayers. Other joys or concerns? Yes.
I'm having surgery tomorrow.
Happy that.
She's having cataract.
Oh, you're having cataract surgery in the. All right. Okay, all right. Well, we'll keep you in our prayers as well. Other joys or concerns?
That was such a wonderful service, and I'm just so thankful for the people who went and thankful for their support, and I'm so proud to be part of a church that has this. Thank you.
Yeah, joy to hear about, yeah. About everybody's experience. And I had a joy yesterday walking next to the float, the Bethany United Methodist Church float. So thank you to everyone who made that, who worked on that, made it possible, put it back up on the trailer when it fell off before it was made. And yeah, thank you God, it survived and nobody was hurt on Route 11 when it happened. Do we have other joys or concerns? Right, yeah. Continue to be in prayer for Crystal Simmons, and you can see her contact information is in the bulletin. She broke her hip and her wrist, and looks like she'll be in rehab for a little while now. Yes.
One of my sorority sisters, Longwood, we keep in touch. Her husband went in for his very first colonoscopy, his routine.
All right, prayers for David, who found out that he has stage 4 colon cancer. Definitely want to be in prayer for him. Any others?
For Bill Kyle.
We will continue to pray for Bill Kyle.
I'll just continue to pray for our military and other ways with stuff on Bill and me going on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Probably won't be better.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Yeah, want to pray for those who are deployed, and especially those who are overseas, and away from family and friends at Christmas time. Any others?
Along with that, we have a praise. Our son-in-law Daniel, Katie's husband, is coming home from Poland. They've been separated from each other since last March, and he's coming home next Sunday. So we're excited.
So. Wonderful, wonderful that he is coming home and we'll get a chance to be with family. Wonderful. Any others? Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we give you thanks this morning for all of those who have shared with us their experiences being out in the mission field. Lord, we are in this season that too often is a season of excess. We get it from every side. We get commercials and we hear all kinds of things. The store shelves have been filled for months with Christmas items. But Lord, help us to concentrate and focus on what is truly important in this season. Lord, help us to prepare ourselves to receive your son, Jesus Christ. We know through you that we need to prepare. We need to get ourselves ready. We need to get in shape for the season, not to eat all the cookies, you know that, but to be open and welcoming to people who are in need, people in whom you say, there is Jesus. And so help us to be ready. Help us to do the things that we need to do. I pray this morning that you would be with those that we've lifted up. Lord, we lifted up some serious health concerns this morning. We've named people out loud, and we just pray that you would be with them in their procedures, in their surgeries, in all that comes next. Give them strength and healing and wholeness. Lord, we pray for the family of Ruby Botkin, for what comes next in her life. We, Lord, that we ask that you would give her peace and hope to this woman of faith. Gracious God, we pray for our military people, especially those who are far from home at this time of year. Lord, be with them, keep them safe, and bring them safely back to us, and help us to express our thankfulness for what they do and the sacrifices they are willing to make. Lord, let us walk slowly through Advent. Take our time and focus on this child coming into the world who was ready to do something amazing and important and marvelous. Lord, we thank you. Help us to wait with patience as Mary waited so that we can be with Jesus Christ, who grew and taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, this time I invite our ushers to come forward for the morning offering.